This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with John Reid, market strategist at the World Gold Council. John, appreciate the time. Fourth quarter 2024 report comes out. That also, of course, means it's for the full year. Records all round, although some of them, I mean, mine production only up a little bit, although recycled up a fair bit. But supply is, I mean, is 2024 a record for total supply and hence demand as well?
It seems to be. I mean, I suppose the one caution I have is we have to base mine production figures on estimates. Obviously, the companies haven't reported yet for the fourth quarter. And there is the potential, I think, for some slight downgrades to come through from some companies. And as you said, it's only just a record. I think it's something like 0.5% above the previous all-time high, which was in 2018. So even though we may or may not have hit an all-time high for mine production in 2024, I think the broader context is that the gold mining industry is struggling to grow despite these record prices we're seeing. And that's because there are really a shortage of projects, a shortage of discoveries. I think it's going to see gold mining production plateau rather than grow materially despite these record prices.
And that's in an environment, and hence the price. I mean, central bankers, every time we chat around the Gold Council updates, central bankers are buying, and they kept on the, you know, another 1,000 tons last year. I think that's, you make the point, third year in a row. The fourth quarter particularly strong at 333 tons. Central bankers continue to buy. That trend is firmly in place and probably not going away anytime soon if we look at global dynamics.
Well, I think that's right. And I think, you know, about things that surprised me when we got the numbers for the full year, the strength of central bank buying in the fourth quarter was one of them. Mm. We're always slightly conservative when we project forward what central banks are going to be doing in the gold market. To be frank, the last couple of years, we've been positively surprised. And I think you're quite right about the political environment, because a lot of what happens with central bank purchases is driven as much by politics as it is by economics. Mm. And, you know, with the new administration in the United States, it's going to be, I suspect, an interesting time in financial markets with, you know, with tariff announcements and other economic and political policies coming out on a more or less a daily basis. I think that's going to encourage central banks to buy more gold, not less. So I'm quietly confident that we'll see another strong year for central bank purchases next year.
You said that was one of the surprises. What was the other surprises for you out of the report?
I suppose when I looked at the numbers, I mean, to see that investment demand was up year on year to such a large degree took me slightly by surprise. Obviously, we live and breathe the gold market and look at things on a daily basis. But I suppose the big turnaround that we saw in global ETF flows in the second half of the year really skewed this. I mean, we'd seen 3 years of modest outflows from exchange-traded funds. That continued through the first half of 2024, but then has reversed in the second half of the year. And in terms of our expectations going forward, we actually see a positive, you know, year-on-year change in investment demand in 2025. And I think most of that could be attributed to the continuation of ETF purchases, and therefore the year-on-year comparison against the negatives that we saw in the first half of the year. So I'd still argue, though, that Western investors have not really stepped up to the plate to buy as much gold as they could. You know, the ETF inflows that we've seen in the second half of the year have been good, but they haven't been super strong. I think we need interest rates to come down more to really energize Western investors, both via ETFs, but also bars and coins. So, you know, 2024 has been largely about emerging market investors in gold, certainly for the first half of the year. There are signs that Western investors are beginning to get more engaged, but it hasn't really come through yet.
Yeah, and that was undoubtedly the other point that stood out for me, that we're seeing those ETF investors. Is emerging markets, is China part of that investor demand for emerging markets?
It is. I mean, ETFs, in terms of you look at the stock of holdings, is primarily a Western phenomenon. Yeah. We've got the US and we've got European domiciled ETFs that hold most of the stock of gold held by ETFs. But if you look at the changes that have been taking place, there are ETFs in China, there are ETFs in India, and they both saw strong growth last year. And I think we're beginning to see a bit of a rebalancing in the ETF landscape towards emerging market investors recognizing the, you know, the advantages of investing via ETFs. And with strong investment demand in both in India and China of all sorts, it's coming through in the ETF space as well.
The other thing that I always look, and it's a small number, but the tech sector, it's what, 326 tons? That's back of a matchbox, maybe 6.5% or so. It is growing. You make the point, stronger since 2021. And that kind of ties in, I mean, we all think AI, but it's
it's more than AI. I mean, data centers. I mean, there must be a stack lot of gold in that. And I'm even thinking the Starlink satellites going into orbit, they've probably got gold in them too. Not great amounts per each, but it adds up.
It adds up. And I think that's exactly the point. AI is definitely a component of the strength and technology demand for gold, but it's not the only factor as well. People are spending more money on upgrading computer systems, on upgrading phones, on upgrading data centers, and all of those things contain gold. Having said that, gold at $2,800 an ounce, though, it does encourage the tech companies to try and use less gold where they can. You know, there's a lot of factors playing out here where there are more chips everywhere, but they get smaller, and tech companies work out how to use less gold per chip. I mean, in the end, you're right, 6.5-7% of demand going into technology. Gold is never going to be primarily an industrial metal.
Yeah.
But if we didn't use it in electronics, you'd notice it. I always joke that, you know, your phone would weigh twice as much and break much more frequently if you didn't have gold in it. And there's an element of truth in that joke.
Yeah, it goes back to what my science teacher always said. It's the periodic table and you can't argue with it. We'll leave that there. That's John Reid, Marketing Strategist, World Gold Council. Always appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.